All right, this is the legacy call, and I'm going to get everybody in here. Legacy members are people who have been with us for over a year, and they are the people who will get coached on this call. So that can be anyone. Let me get Coach Lizzie up. And then someone was going to raise their hand from the last call. I cannot remember her name. I want to say it was Heather. So I'm looking for her first to make sure that she's. If she's here, I told her that I would make sure she got to go. Otherwise, we will get to coaching. So if you want to get coached, just make sure you raise your hand. I'm going to call on. There's Heather. Thank you. I was like really worried that you weren't going to be able to come back. I meant to plug my phone in too before I came in here. My phone's about ready to die. All right, Heather, let's get you going. Heather, you coming? Oh, there we go. All right, let's get you unmuted. Let's get your video going. Hey, more. Hello. So, what are we coaching on? Thank you for coming back, by the way. I actually did have to poop. Like, I had to pee. I had to poop. I was like, oh God. Like, I mean, I've had that. You know how, like, when you have that emergent feeling? I've been having that since we got back into Nashville yesterday, and it was starting up. I was like, if I shit in this chair, at least I'm got on a black chair. So
I can respect that. No,
yeah.
thank you. Thank you for getting me on this call. I appreciate it. I am in about a five and a half week stall. And basically, I'm stuck somewhere between 232, 234. It doesn't seem to move. And I'm trying to do the, I know there are changes. My clothes are fitting better. I know I'm seeing changes in the decisions that I'm making. I'm trying to look at everything that does not revolve around the number on the scale, and
Yeah, but
it
what's the
is
part of the number on
rolling.
the scale? Why do you think it's not moving?
Because it's not, it either, it started
What's
at like
going
230.
on that's not making the scale go down? Like, just take wild guesses. I mean, in 5 and a half weeks, something.
The one that I know it is and I've been trying to work on is the stopping at enough.
Okay, so this is what I would stop telling myself, that I'm on a stall. I would say, I'm not stopping at enough because now I've got a problem to solve. If you just keep saying, but I'm trying not to look at the scale number and I'm doing a lot of busy work to feel good about myself, that's great. We don't have to beat ourselves up. But what we can do is rather than spending a lot of energy trying to convince yourself that things are okay, then let's just convince ourselves like there's obviously a solution to this. And when I get real clear on what's not happening and what I need to work on, the scale will go down. Like, I don't have to feel like a fuck up. I don't have to feel like a failure. I don't have to do any of that. But I also do, I mean, just if it was me, usually when I want success, I ask myself, do I need to spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to justify why I'm not successful? Or do I want to spend more time digging into my data to feel like where are the areas that I can pinpoint? Because here's all the things I'm doing right that I already know is going right. But here's like the one thing, like this right here, if I'm not stopping it enough, makes sense why that scale's not going down. Let's work on that. So, why are we not stopping it enough?
Not sure yet. I did my first monk meal not last week, the week before, and holy shit, was that just a whole thoughts of it tastes good. This is my relaxation. This is my I deserve this. We've done so well all day. Like it was just.
So it's not that you don't know. Like, I love how we say this. I ask you, like, well, why are we not something? I don't know. And then, like, well, I did a monk meal and like 4,000 thoughts came out. That's probably the ones I'm having when I'm distracted. I'm just not hearing them.
Yeah, let's go with that. That's probably it.
Let's just, like, I just want you to see how quickly, like, you've been, like, probably doing a lot of energy work on trying to like not get dissuaded when you could have just said the best way to not be dissuaded is to figure out exactly what's going on, fix it, and then when that scale is going down, I won't be dissuaded at all.
I feel very called out right now.
Everybody should. I have to do the same bullshit, that the same stuff. Like, I can go to Chris with a problem in the business and talk about a thousand things. Like, let's lower the goal. Let's do this. Let's do, like, I can do a lot of that. Or I can just be like, we should probably look at the numbers and figure out what we need to fix. That's always fast and quick. Or I can, you know, so it tastes so good. And what was the other ones? It tastes so good. Which is
It tastes so good. Usually, so, and yes, I've done a crap load of the energy work around this. And it's just, it's the one where I think I'm missing. The biggest one and the one that I struggle with is dinner. And
okay.
it's the, I get to the end of the day and it's kind of the, we've done so well all day.
Okay.
That kind of, you know, allowing.
Okay. So this one's an easy one to solve then. Like, this is what's so nice when we actually just start looking at what's going on, the ease and the solution becomes like butt-ass crystal clear. If you're at dinner and you've said you've been good all day long, you deserve whatever it is. Okay. You now have the crystal clear ringing of the bell thought that all you have to do is when you hear it, be like, oh yeah, don't eat. I don't do that anymore. That's the thought I've been, that's the thought that tells me I'm at enough. So now I stop eating because that is what I need to do to get the scale going down. And I let my brain throw a fit. I let it say these things, but I'm not surprised by it. I'm not acting like it's confusing. And I'm damn sure not on a stall. A stall is when you're like legit doing it all and the scale won't move. And we might need to like tweak macros. We need to like shake up your workouts and stuff. But no one's ever on that stall. The only people I've ever seen on those stalls are elite level athletes.
Doesn't apply in this case.
And like me either. Like, not happening. You know, it's like, it's very rare that we have to deprive ourselves, that we need to really cut back. We need to, you know, do all these shenanigans. It's like, no, I need to tell myself, yeah, I did really good all day. And if like, what is extra food doing for you? It's
nothing.
Doing something. No, it is. Like, I want you to really think about this, Heather. It's doing something for you or you wouldn't keep eating. It's allowing you to feel what? It's allowing whatever. What is that?
It's allowing me to feel like I can have what I want.
Good. Now, this is great information. Because then in that moment, you can say, the only reason why I want to keep eating is because I spend my day not getting what I want. And right now, I want what? It's not food. What do you really want?
Probably just, I don't, satisfaction, just a relaxation, a satisfaction. I'm done with the day. I'm done.
Okay. Bill, so let me ask you this though. At dinner, when you're eating, is that realistic? Can you just be done with the day? Do you get to, do you, are you in a situation where you can relax?
Yes.
Okay. The reason why I ask this is important for all of you is sometimes, like, I remember wanting that break. And when Logan was like, I don't know, 3 through probably 10, that wasn't realistic.
Okay.
You know, like, I was going to have to take care of him at night. He only would go to sleep if I laid in the floor, held his hand, and went to sleep with him. This was until he was about 10, 9 or 10 years old. I, like, me saying that I was, you know, oh, you deserve it. Like, that always came up. And I would just have to tell myself, I know your day's not over, but eating is not helping. Now, for you, you're in a different situation. You're like in the situation I am now. It's like when I'm like, oh, you've been good all day. And, you know, now we finally get to take a break. And then I just equate eating with that. have to tell myself, we don't have to eat anymore. If we want to take a break, we're at the stage in life where the day actually can end. I don't have to do laundry if I don't want to. I don't have to put a baby to bed anymore. I don't have to be productive. And honestly, after 4:30 in the afternoon, I am not. My day ends at 4:30. It begins TV, laying on my ass. You are lucky if I carry myself to the toilet. If I could get Chris to catheterize me, we would be all in. I've always joked with him, man, if you could just catheterize me every night, I wouldn't even have to get out of the bed to pee.
Figured.
Those 15 steps are a real killer. So if that's the case, why are you not just giving yourself then the rest, like the satisfaction of knowing, hey, my day is done. I don't have to keep eating. The day is really done.
Conditioned to believe unless you're doing something, there's always something to be done. There's always something on the to-do list. There's something that you could be getting finished to sit and do nothing is.
But sitting through nothing, you just got through telling me. There's no real good reason other than just lame ass old thoughts. That season of life is gone. Is it?
Yes, the lame asshole thoughts are just very, very loud, I'm realizing.
Yeah, but this is what, let me ask you this. What's better, to sit around and work on your thoughts that are just wrong by your own admission, that there's something you should be doing after dinner other than giving yourself what you really want, which is like, I just want to be done for the day. That's all I really want. I just want to like, I am just done for the day. Instead, you have spent 5.5 weeks trying to feel better about a stall instead of giving yourself what you really want.
It sounds so dumb when you say it out loud like that. But yes, that is what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not dumb. But it's like, I feel you though. A lot of times, like, I'll get coached by my coach and it'll be the same shit. And I'll just be like, holy shit, I didn't even know. Like, I didn't even know I was doing that.
Yeah.
You know, but that's why we get coached, so that we know, like, oh, there's actually a pretty simple solution here. I'm going to probably, like, tonight, I'm going to eat dinner. And I'm probably going to tell myself, you've been so good. You even got coached today. Like, you're even better than most people. You raised your hand. You really deserve a treat. You should eat some more. Like, whatever it is, right? Now you have to tell yourself, like, oh, this is that thing I do because what I really want to do is learn that I'm in the stage of life where it's okay for me to just be done. Like, I actually can be done. And if there's ever something that I really need to do, I'll probably do it.
I've struggled with trying to find enough. Are the shitty thoughts my enough?
Are you? Oh, you're the only one that can answer that. I can't.
We've had all the rest of the answers, so I just thought I'd throw it out there.
You don't want my answer. What if, let me ask you this. What if I was like, well, not really. Wouldn't you just be like, I better get busy? Like, and then you would feel bad. But like, what do you think my answer is always going to be?
What do you think? Asking me.
Yeah, like, because I could tell you all day long, you are enough. And the second I do, your brain is going to tell you why you're not.
Okay.
So it doesn't help when I tell y'all that you're enough. It only helps when you are doing your journaling work on why. Like, why? Well, tell me why you think you're not good enough. What is like standing in the way of your enoughness, and what would be enough? So tell me, first of all, give me like the top three reasons why Heather's not good enough.
I can't figure out my fucking enough. Like,
no, you can. That, remember, we just got through saying the problem isn't that you can't figure out enough. The problem is that you're not giving yourself enough rest and enough. You're not giving yourself enough permission to be done for the day. So you're putting yourself in the position to have to eat to be able to feel what you want, which is satisfied and relaxed. So it's not that you don't know what enough is.
Okay.
You know what enough is. It's when you're hitting enough, your brain starts going like, oh no, we've been good all day. We should probably eat more. That's your enough cue right there. It's like, oh, I've had physically enough. Now my body is asking for satisfaction and rest. My body is basically saying, I want to do nothing, or I want to do this. Like, this is this thing I want to do. And you don't give me enough permission. So I need to eat so that you don't feel bad if you're going to go out and do more shit, or you don't, or you're too busy feeling bad about eating too much that you don't feel bad about not being productive. Because every one of us, we have like a shame tolerance. And for most women, man, we can feel like we're all about some internalized shame. It's like, well, I mean, yeah, I'm overweight and I'm not doing the things and blah, blah, blah. And I could beat myself up and feel shame about that all day long. But the second we're not productive, it's like, and everybody else is probably seeing me being lazy.
And now that's it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want the rest of the people to be ashamed of me. I'm okay with me being ashamed. I don't want her. I got to keep up my pretenses here. That's exhausting.
Yeah.
So if you've already told me, like, I have, like, really, there's nothing I really need to be doing. Now I just got to figure out how to give myself permission to not do it. Now I got to sit around and do nothing and feel bad about doing nothing without eating until I convince myself nothing bad's happening here. This is actually okay. And here are the reasons why this is okay. And then you're going to feel like enough. So there's two ways to attack enoughness. One is always to figure out, like, well, what are the things that I think is not enough? And you make a list, and almost, I would guarantee y'all, 99% of it is utter shit. Just like you just came out and said, it was like, well, I'm not good enough because I don't know what my enough is. And it's like your brain just literally lobbed another lie. Like 5 seconds ago, you told me, you know what enough is. You just don't want to stop eating. So this is why we have to write things down, because we have to question things. Our brains are really good about just like those 60,000 thoughts. It's just going to be throwing them out there, throwing them out there, throwing them out there. It's like it's throwing spaghetti against the wall to see which ones are going to stick. And you just have to realize that so much of the stuff you think is just not true.
Okay.
All right. Now, the second part is where we go through and we're like, what would enough be? So like, have you even thought about, all right, if I'm constantly stuck in the loop of I haven't done enough, you should make a list every day, a reasonable list, not a perfectionistic list, not a if the world goes perfectly list, but a reasonable, here's the few things, if you do it today, this is enough. And sometimes what happens is when you look at the list, it gives you an opportunity, number one, to examine it. Am I being realistic, or am I putting things on the list from worrying about what other people think? Am I running myself into the ground and burning myself out by putting things on the list that no one gives a shit about? Just like in the last call, I was talking about our suitcases. It was like really hard for me to admit to everyone that I pay someone to unpack my shit. I know how fortunate I am. I mean, they're in there now. Just going at it. But, I mean, for a long time, I had so much guilt and shame about it. I didn't want to talk about it because I was so afraid what other people would think of me. So I was left with two things. Sometimes I would be unpacking when I was literally so tired from working a full day. Sometimes it would sit there for 2 weeks. And I was like every day looking for things, even though, and it was like, oh, it's in my suitcase. I'm just making do because I couldn't get to it. And so like when you look at your list, you'll start noticing what are the things that you're hanging on to that just aren't even true anymore, that are not that important. This has nothing to do with making sure that I got through the day, took care of business, that kind of stuff. And then it will also give you a guideline of, all right, if I checked off this list today and my brain is still saying you should do more, it's literally wrong. I have evidence. Today was the day that I decided to do these things. And if these things got done, that's literally just a lie. It's not even true. Because the version of me this morning who was making this list had my best interest in mind. And she said, this is all you got to do. And then you can do whatever you want tonight. And then if you notice that you're not getting those things done, you've got two options then. I just want you to see how, like, the more clear we get on things, the more options we get. The hazy we stay, not making lists, not, like, writing and stuff, the more, like, I just don't know what's happening. I'm just so confused. Well, I don't know. So you look at the list, and if you're not getting all those things done every single day, it's signaling one of two things. You're procrastinating, and you need to say, like, well, looks like we're going to have to do some stuff tonight, so we're not going to eat to get the energy up. If you can look at your list and say, like, oh, I didn't get that done today because actually today I ended up watching, you know, Young and the Restless at 11 o'clock rather than doing this thing I said I would do. Like, every now and then I have to work at night. During the Olympics was a really big problem for me. I was obsessed. My sister and all made fun of me because every day I had the TV on. I was trying to work and had the Olympics on all day. And I noticed I wasn't getting my shit done every day. It's like, this is not like me. And I realized I was working distracted. Like, the second a good race would come on or something would happen, you know, I'm like looking up and trying to follow along. And so what I realized was, like, all right, tonight, you're going to have to work at night. You didn't get these things done. And you had enough, like, I can tell you had enough time to get it done. You just had the TV on. Now, the other thing that it will show you is if you're routinely not getting everything done, maybe overplanning. You may have rules around, like, what you should be doing. Like, you're, like, trying to cram too much in the day. You're literally running out of time each day. You don't feel like you're, you know, like, it's just a lot of stuff. So you can take a look at, like, after a week, if you notice you're routinely not getting everything done, then you have to face this, which is the new list looks like this. Based on my data, I overplan. I think I should be able to do more than I actually can do. And that's okay. So now some of these things have to come off the list every day. Okay. Then you just have to deal with your not enoughness. I must not be good enough because I can't do this. Like, usually a daily list of things to do for most women in the very beginning triggers not like you're not doing enough. That's usually about right. That's what I always tell people with their 24-hour plan. If you start looking at your 24-hour plan in the very beginning and you think, well, I'll never lose weight doing that, you're probably actually starting with a very doable plan.
Crap. Okay.
And this is like human psychology. Most humans over-index how much they can do, and they under-index how long it will take. Chris and I, we study productivity a lot, so we're always teaching our team about productivity and kind of how to produce, like, fast and efficiently and stuff. And we're always telling them, you've got to do less things. Because our brains are always going to skew on the idea of, I can do more in less time. Instead of, let's just skew it to, here's the things I know that's really important, and I'm going to get really good at figuring out how long those things take. Then I'll know how much extra time I have for other things I might want to do. But these are the, like, non-essentials over here. But these are the things that actually need to get done every day, or, you know, on this day or whatever.
Okay.
All right. So how are we going to get off that stall? You tell me.
Well, it's not a stall, as you, okay. It's the me needing to work on stopping it enough and hearing it and sitting in the very uncomfortable thoughts and just noticing them and calling them what they are. They're just thoughts. It's not real. It's not whatever. It's uncomfortable, and it is what it is.
It's not the only truth here.
Okay.
Like when you start wanting to say like, my cat is sitting over there just crying for me. He's so pitiful. Come here. I know you missed me. It's sitting there and telling yourself, like, it's only comfortable because my brain is offering up one version of the truth. But when I'm not sitting here in it, I also know I don't have to do as much as I think I do. I'm just not used to giving, like, I love the thought, I'm just not used to giving myself permission to rest. I'm not used to giving myself permission to not do things. And I need to see myself doing that for a little while before I realize, you know, everything won't come apart. People won't, like, you know, make me walk naked through the streets ringing a shame bell behind me. It's for all my Game of Thrones fans out there. Okay. I think that's really all you're going to need to do to see that. Because this is what I notice in all of you. All of you are going to be able to lose a certain amount of weight just making basic habit changes. Some mindless food eats will go away. You can, you know, like if we've been severely overeating and we're now just like, oh, I've cut back. Like, and this was like, you know, we just kind of weren't paying attention at all. And then we kind of cut back naturally by just paying attention. And it's not emotionally charging for us. It's just like, you know, we go through a stage of like, this is so easy. The weight is just coming off. This is amazing. Then we hit what we call the emotional eating tolerance, where now you're eating to the level that your emotional eats can sustain you. It's like, I'm not losing weight anymore. Oh, now I got to face this whole productivity thing at night. Now I've got to actually like unwind. Why am I not stopping at enough? That's, you know I don't need to eat this much. Oh, I keep telling myself I deserve it. I keep telling myself these things. I wonder what I really need there. Oh, I deserve, like, what do I deserve if it's not extra food? Well, what I really want is I just want to feel satisfied at the end of the day. I just want to know the day is done. I've done my best, or I've done enough, whatever it is. And it's just time to relax. So if that's really all you want, then when you stop at, when we stop enough, that is the time we say, Heather, I know how you're feeling. You really have done enough for the day, even if you don't believe it right now. So we're going to try this for a few days. We're going to prove to ourselves we're doing just fine. Because let me ask you this. This is be curious. When you keep eating and your whole thought is like, I've not done enough. After you overeat, are you going and just like, killing it for 3 hours, like remodeling your house, changing the world? Like, what's going on during the time between you finish eating and going to bed?
Wondering what I'm doing that I was in a stall.
See, this is the reason why I brought this up, is because a lot of times y'all will tell me, like, because there's things I should be doing, I'm not getting enough done, blah, blah, blah. Then y'all overeat. And then y'all go sit and feel sorry for yourself on the couch and watch TV. It's like, look, maybe if you, you know, if you were being Mother Teresa from 6 to 9 every night, feeding small children and stuff, I'd be like, girl, just go ahead and eat something. I mean, you really are affecting the world. But short of being a Mother Teresa, most of us are getting what we most want, which is, I just want to lay on my ass. I have already given for the day. I have already killed the day. I have been going since my little feet hit the ground. And instead of giving myself permission to lay down, I overeat, feel sorry for myself, and then go lay down.
And then make the to-do list for the next day, which involves, you know, kind of flogging myself for everything I didn't get done that day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I just think you need to like relook at all these lists. I think it'd be very helpful for you to start looking at, here's everything I think I'm supposed to be doing each day. And then before you plan it, I will just tell you, I've been talking about productivity all day with y'all. One of the things I do is I do make my big ass list, and then I start plugging it into a calendar for the day. And sometimes, like I would say 50% of the time, I notice I've got more on the list than there are hours in the day. At least hours in the day, I'm willing to work on things. I started around 5 in the morning. And I'm willing to go to about 4:30, 5 o'clock at night. I know that's an aggressive day for a lot of people. But I will tell you, it took me a long time to feel like it was not shameful to knock it off at 5 and just watch TV for 3 straight hours until I fell asleep. Because I still fought after 12 hours of not wasting time and doing shit that, like, well, there's like 3 more hours. You should just eat. And then, you know, here's the other things you should do. Think of how much more you'd get done. I was like, I gotta stop that. It's not helpful. I don't need to keep working. I don't need to keep producing. And here's why. So sometimes it's just giving yourself that. But I think you really need to take a look at your list and look at, where am I just being kind of ridiculous? You'll find plenty.
Oh, I already know.
Yeah. Then you're just like, now instead of sitting around flogging yourself for fucking up your food, now you can flog yourself for not doing stupid shit until you realize, I don't need to flog myself for not doing stupid shit. Because that'll be the automatic response.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, if you're going to feel like shit about something, at least feel like shit and get rest. Don't feel like shit for overeating.
And then not get the rest, and then just keep lather, rinsing,
exactly,
and repeating.
It's like, feel like shit with a positive outcome. Because then eventually you'll have the positive outcome enough where you're like, maybe we shouldn't feel like shit. This is working out pretty good.
Just skip that part, you know?
Exactly. But we always have to go through that. That's the only way. The only way is to, you know, our brains are just so conditioned to make everything a problem. We just have to get better at knowing when our brain is making something a problem when it really isn't. That's where we are at human nature now, or human design now. Like, you know, hundreds of years ago, our lives literally depended on our ability to make everything a problem. If you did not make the prairie and its coyotes and stuff a problem, you would be dead. Like, you couldn't just go out in the middle of the night on a walk on your farm, or you'd get eaten by something. Like, we had to make things a problem. Nowadays, so few things are life threatening. But like, we as women will think, well, if I don't get the, you know, laundry folded tonight, my children will go naked tomorrow. Like, we will think things like that. And it's like, we are not in danger anymore.
Okay.
Thank you for being patient and waiting on me.
Okay. No, appreciate it.
All righty. Bye, Heather.
Thank you.
All right, Wendy. If y'all are wondering why I've started dressing so casual on Saturdays, on Sundays, I'm pretty sure my coaches are wondering too, since I try to dress nice most of the time. I've moved my workouts to the afternoon on Sundays. Our gym doesn't open till 1 o'clock anyway. But I want to work out on Sunday afternoons because I'm taking different days off now. And I literally did so many calls where I had on full on clothes and stuff that I wouldn't go, because I didn't feel like changing clothes. And I'm just a big believer in, take as many obstacles out of point A to B as you possibly can. And I was like, fuck it. Nobody, like half of them are, no, 90% of them are listening in the podcast player. I'm going to wear my workout clothes, so I have zero excuses. The second I get off a call, I just get in the car and I drive straight to the gym. I can have any kind of workout I want, but I've proven to myself, as long as I get there, I do fine. But if I put any roadblocks between me and the gym, guess what? I will talk myself out. I will open up negotiation. I want as little negotiation points as possible, as little distractions as possible. So I'm always trying to like prune out things that stand between me and doing what I say I want to do. All right, Wendy, let's get you unmuted and get your video started. I don't know if we're going to be able to get your video going. It's acting like you're... Just go ahead and talk. We'll just do it.
Okay. I have struggled with keeping a plan. I have a great planner. I write for days. And then I think, this makes me think about food all the time, which I do anyway.
So that's not true.
No,
it's not the planner making you think about food all the time. You do it all. No. You do it no matter what. So you might as well at least have a plan that has you thinking about the foods that you want to be eating versus just thinking about all the foods.
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, that's good. We're already through one big thought block.
So I just, you know, I will go through phases where, like when we did the July challenge, I lost the, I think said 3.5 pounds and I lost probably 4 pounds. And so I can do it when I'm focused, but I don't know. The planner has just been a snag for me all the way along. I don't feel like I use it properly. And when I try to, I don't always see the benefit.
Well, let me ask you this, Wendy. Did you use it in July? When you lost 4 pounds, did you use the planner in July?
Probably some of the time, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so it worked some of the time. Otherwise, you wouldn't have lost 4 pounds.
Right, right, exactly.
Okay, so we know that it's not true that the planner doesn't work for me. The truth is, sometimes it does, and sometimes I think it makes me think about food, but the truth is, I think like the problem is I'm thinking about food a lot. It's not really the planner.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
I just want to blame that.
Yeah. Well, and that's okay. And I would just tell all of you, nobody has to use the planner. Like it is, I think it is a great way for you to make sure that the food, like if you're thinking about food all the time, that the foods that you want to include get into the plan versus like in an intentional way so that you're getting to enjoy food the way you want to. You're getting to eat the things you want to. But if you don't plan, you're thinking about food all the time, which can drive you to eat in ways you don't want to.
Exactly.
Okay. So what do you think, what is the problem then? Because I don't think it's the planner.
Oh, I don't think it is either. I don't know. Sometimes I will, well, first of all, I don't do most of the cooking. I used to, but now my husband does. So that's now if I text him and say, can we have such and such? He's good about it. Like, he's like, oh, great idea. Like he'll go get the stuff. But that's part of it is that I don't always know what we're going to have.
More well, why don't you just text him every day?
I guess I could.
I mean, is there a reason why you don't?
No, I just think that, I think I've just gotten lazy and a lot of times we'll go, I get home, he doesn't have a plan, he's busier at work now. And so then we end up ordering out, which is, you know, never as healthy as it could be, you know, even the healthy option.
Well, I don't agree with that. Like, I think that's a thought. Like you may be thinking I can't like it, there's no sense in eating healthy if we order out. Like you may have thoughts about that, but I will tell you, I order Uber Eats 3 to 4 days a week.
Okay.
And I don't have any problems.
Okay.
Because I have a list of our favorite restaurants that we're going to order from. Mixed Grill in Smyrna, which is Greek, which we always joke because Chris always gets the Philly cheesesteak sandwich. He's like, let me order the Philly cheesesteak sandwich from the Greek restaurant.
Outside Philly. That makes perfect sense.
Oops. Yeah, it's very hilarious. We order from Karaoke, which is Asian. We order from a Meat and Three, where I get my chicken livers. We order Subway. Where's our other one? Oh, we sometimes order from Wendy's because I love chili and a baked potato. And there's like one other place. Oh, we order from IHOP. Because we both like pancakes and omelets.
Wow. Okay.
So all I do is I got with Chris and I was like, where's our favorite places? And we just made a list of them. And then I went through the Uber Eats menu, not when I was hungry. I went through the Uber Eats menu like on a Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
When I was going to be thinking about like, if we're going to be ordering out a lot, I want to have a menu predetermined so that all I have to say is like, oh, let's order out. Let's go here. Here's my usual. And I just pre-selected the things. Like if we go to IHOP, I get, there is like an omelet that you can get. Like it's like a veggie type omelet.
Huh?
And I just get a side of pancakes with it. And I don't eat syrup or butter on them. But IHOP's pancakes are like cake. Like you really don't have to have syrup and butter. But and I don't eat all of them. That usually splits into two meals for me. And I just say like, all right, I'm going to take half the omelet, half the pancakes. That's going to be my dinner. And then I put the rest in the fridge for the next day. But the way that I think about it is like you're kind of acting like, well, here's all the reasons why losing weight is so hard for me. And the way I think about it is, I'm going to lose weight eating out, so I need to make it easy on myself. I'm going to lose weight with my husband cooking, which is amazing. My husband did not cook a fucking thing while I was losing weight. Corinne did all the cooking back then. And I would just be like, I'm just going to decide what we're going to have. I'll just text him every morning. First thing, this is what I want for the day. And sometimes, and if you're making your plan and first thing in the morning, you can be like, is today a good day to do like order in? Is today a good day to go out to eat? Is today a good day to tell my husband first thing in the morning what I'd like? Because he's going to do the cooking based on like whatever's going on. But I think about it as here are the things, like you could think about it this way. Here are the things I think are getting in my way. And if I was going to make those easier on myself, what would I be doing that's different than today? Now, what do you think?
Well, I think it goes along with it goes along with I recently saw a physician that talked to me about cutting gluten out again. I've done it once before. And I knew coming away from that appointment that I'm going to have to plan better. Like I just have to make a plan. I have to look ahead, like maybe on a Sunday, and I have to take some of this on myself, and some of it, like you're saying, I can ask my husband to, can we have this tonight? And then some of those nights that I know is going to maybe he's going to be busy, then if I had a plan, that would actually work. We could do that. We could order something that's healthier,
Yeah, because you could literally just like if you went through, and let me tell you, gluten free is so easy. It is incredible. I watched my niece can't have gluten. Like literally, if she eats the least bit gluten, she shits her pants within 30 minutes. I mean, can't hold it. Like it goes
Goes right through.
madly through her. And she's only 22. So you can imagine how lovely it is to be 22 years old and try to go out like when she goes with her friends. She's just like, you're certain there's no gluten in there. And she's like me. She'll say, you know, I'll shit my pants. Like she is adamant. So we went on a vacation this week for 7 days and we didn't plan any of the food ahead of time. And we just, everywhere we went, she was just like, tell me your gluten-free options. What's gluten-free? I'm gluten-free. Like she just doesn't think about it as a problem. Like I really watched her. Like she, like, and I maybe it's because she was so young when she had to go gluten free. She was like 16. Like to her, that's just normal. She doesn't think like it's so unfair. Like nothing. She's like, no, what's unfair is shitting my pants or feeling like shit, whatever, right? So for you, it's like, all right, when it comes to planning to make it easier on you. Like, get off this call. Go through wherever y'all would normally eat. Come up with the options. And this is like, here's Wendy's plan. So even if I don't do a 24-hour plan that day, I already have pre-planned. Planning, like the whole 24-hour plan thing is like for all of you, it is to make your life easier. It is so that you can take a moment to make sure that you're setting yourself up for success. You're not setting yourself up for harsh rules, impossible to follow standards, restriction and deprivation. It's to make sure you're not doing those things. It's really there to make sure that you're inclusive of all the things. And then the other reason why I have y'all do the 24-hour plan is because it's a learning experience. Like somebody just said in the comments, and this is very common. I don't follow my plan. So then I just feel bad. So I abandon the plan. It's like, no, abandon feeling bad about yourself. Learn how to not feel bad about yourself for stupid shit. That's the lesson. It's like, if you don't follow your plan, then you beat yourself up. That's the problem in the room. The problem isn't that you're not following the plan. The first problem is you use asinine crap against yourself. So if you'll do that with literally a 24-hour plan, God help you if you're at work and you do something wrong. God help you if your child got in trouble at school. I'd love to know how you talk about yourself in those situations, because I will bet you it is a self-esteem crisis. So the 24-hour plan is also there to teach y'all how to quit having self-esteem crisis over dumbass shit.
Right, right. That makes sense.
Yes, it is. I am telling you, when I rewrite No BS, we're starting the rewrite this week. That 24-hour plan lesson's going to be epic. I am so ready to show y'all that the plan is there to teach you how to take exquisite care of yourself emotionally and physically.
Okay.
And when y'all adopt that, you will want to plan, because you will feel like, man, if I don't have anything else going on today, no time for me, this 3 minutes I spend planning is where I say, Corinne, you are important.
Mm.
And I am figuring out how to make sure that you know how important you are.
Yeah, that's okay, good. Wendy? Yep.
All right. I'm ready to get that. All right. So we're going to make our gluten-free dining out plan. We're going to text our husband more. We're going to, I think that's all we said we were going to do, right? Or just have a better attitude about the plan.
Yeah, I have to have a better attitude about it. It's true. It is true.
Yeah.
Because when I hear you talk about it, it's so inspiring. So I know it's a helpful thing, but I just don't stay with it. So.
Yeah. And the only reason why we don't stay with it is because we beat ourselves up over it.
Yeah.
Like if you're always telling yourself, I don't follow it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably something you're making that mean about yourself. Like, well, if I'm not following it, it means I'm not going to lose weight. Or if I'm not following it, it says, and most of the time what we do is we abandon the action, like the planning is the action, instead of maybe I should abandon all of this harshness I have about myself around it. Maybe that's the part that really needs to be let go of, because then I'll have a better life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Wendy.
That's good. Thank you. All right.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Mary, Pat, you just need to ask yourself, why are you not consistent with it? It's almost all these people who are not consistent with planning are the people who say, I quit planning because I don't follow it. It's like, all right, when you're not following it, why are you quitting? Because I guarantee you, you're making it mean something. This is me. It would be like me saying to all of you, you know, I didn't really have the year. I had made this plan for No BS this year, and we didn't really have the year that we thought we were. So I'm sorry, but we're closing the doors in 2024. December's the last day. I feel so bad about not following my plan for the business. I got to quit. Now, how many of you would be like, what? Seriously, give me an emoji right now if you were just like, that's dumb. You would quit your business because you didn't follow your plan and reach your goal? Yeah, all like shock face, shock face. Everybody's like, what? That is what y'all do all the time. If I quit y'all every single time I didn't follow my plan, if things didn't go the way I thought, I'd quit every day. It's hard running businesses. And the only way to run a business is to have a plan. So I have to plan for my team. I have to plan for y'all. I have to do all these plans. And things don't go like, there's an economy. There's things outside of my control. But if I don't take time to say like, look, just because the plan's not working or I'm not following or it's not going the way I think it should or whatever, I can either quit my business, fire all my employees, send y'all back out into the cold dining world, or I can make a new plan. I can learn. I can be patient. I can figure out what needs to be done. I can tell myself, it's hard, but you're capable of figuring this out. Stick with it. Don't beat yourself up. Learn each day. Stop quitting. It'd be like your children. Can you imagine the first year they have in school where they didn't do well and they struggled? And they just came home and said, like, I'm not going back. I mean, I know I'm only in the sixth grade, but I'm done. It's just too hard on me. Every time I don't get 100%, I beat myself up. How many of you would be like, well, you should just quit school. Live with me the rest of your life, because I don't want you I don't want you to feel bad. And hell, doing homework's hard. I mean, like getting up in the morning, going to school. Yeah, that's hard. Y'all would never do that. So don't do it to yourself over something so simple like the plan. Use it for its intended purposes, to learn, to grow, to like meet your needs, to see what you really need to give up, because it's not food. We need to give up, like the first person, we need to give up ridiculous demands we put on ourselves when all we really, like we're in a season of life where we're just like, I really could knock off after dinner. I literally could be done every day after dinner. But because I'm judging myself, now I'm eating. The plan and breaking it and eating past enough highlights, it's time to give up judgment. Okay. Shoot, my nephew went to kindergarten, and when they told him he had to go back the next day, he said, why? I already went. That's crazy. I love that. I love kids. Allison? What benefits are you finding with the pad in Corinne? I was wondering what benefits you're finding with the PEM of cushion. And, oh, the cushion in my chair. I was considering getting one. I wanted to know what Mike's like. I will be real honest, y'all. I like it. I like it better in the winter because it will heat up. Mainly, I like it because it gets hot in the winter and it keeps me warm. I use it when I'm sitting here and coaching. I wouldn't say that I'm like, wow. Like, there's no immediate thing. I feel like it's probably not hurting anything. But I don't know that I would tell somebody. Like, this thing was like $600. I got it for Christmas from Chris. And I wanted to try it and stuff. But it's not something I would tell everybody, you should get one. Like, it's so magical. Like, I mean, I don't think it's hurting anything. And I think if I did it every day, maybe if I laid and meditated on it, maybe. But I did just turn it on for calls. But I can't really tell, because once I get coaching, I'm pretty much full of piss and vinegar no matter what. And I always set it to creative. So I'm always like, well, I don't really know if I'm actually extra creative or if this is just Corinne. So, who knows? All right, Allison. I like your name. Hi. Allison Sunshine.
Hi. It's actually in the group. My last name's Karen's, C-A-I-R-N-S, but I totally forgot to change it for this.
Oh, that's okay.
So I am doing the Tough Mudder in Chicago this Saturday. So this will be...
I've done 8. I love the Tough Mudder.
Yeah, and this will be my 3rd one. So I'm excited, and I'm going into it like I'm going to have fun. But when I signed up, so you'll know the funky monkey, right? That was the one that I'm like, I want to have enough strength so I can at least hold myself with my upper body. And my goal was, okay, the best way to do it is to lighten the load so there's less to hang. And I went the exact opposite way. So I have gained 25 pounds, but that's not the problem, because now that I'm here, it's this Saturday, I can go back to doing what I'm doing. But the beat down is like, I should know better. And we've kind of coached with this, or I've coached with MJ, and I've coached with different people over the years, because I've been in here since 2019. And I went through your advanced weight loss certification. I'm a coach. I've done all the things. And so it's like, I should know better. And here I am, like, I'm seriously, like, I gained 25 pounds.
Okay. But, I mean, is that thought true? I mean, have you even, like, I mean, just because you think it doesn't mean it needs to be worked on.
So I guess what happened was, I'm actually shocked that I call it the WTF thought, like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why can't I do what I want to do? I'm actually shocked, because I went into this thinking, okay, I've healed the diet trauma. Now I'm going to focus on the fitness. I was doing a nutritional thing with the girls at the gym that we're going to do the Tough Mudder together. And then I don't eat animal just because I don't like to. And so I'm like, okay, I don't fit in that because they're all shooting. Like it was, you know, 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. And I'm like, I can't do that. So okay. Then I went and I hired like a vegan gym coach, even though I'm not a vegan, I don't want that label, but just like, okay, is there something in that world that I'm missing?
Okay.
And then that was great for the information, but then that came with the meal plan. And then I like resisted it and I was like cramming everything.
Okay. So what is the problem though?
I think in my brain, I'm like, am I missing something? Because one of the times you
like
coach
for what?
Me,
like, am I missing something for what?
I guess success from, okay, so no BS, weight loss, like we can lose weight eating Big Macs and chocolate cake in a way that truly we can lose weight. And then for health, I'm in like the optimal health. Like I actually want really good blood work and I'm getting blood work done tomorrow and I watch my blood work because I did have cancer in the past and I want to optimal health. But then all the optimal health and longevity
optimal
doctors.
Optimal health doesn't include Big Macs.
Exactly. So that's where I'm like, okay, weight loss, optimal health, but now the optimal health doesn't include the fitness gym part. And so go
no,
to
it
the
does.
Fitness.
It all of those work together.
Yes.
In fact, they're like a Venn diagram. They kind of cross over.
I literally drew a little diagram as we were.
Yeah, but some reason yours don't have crossovers. Whereas like, where's the intersection of optimal health, fitness, and weight loss?
I think... Let me grab, I'll do red, right? So that's kind of where my little diagram in the middle is. I said, make peace with food, be fit-ish. And so here's no BS. Here's like my nutrition coaching, more in the plant-based, and like the longevity doctors, the nutrition, they're like 0.36 grams of protein per body weight. Here's
the
gym.
But that also is no BS. Like what I'm showing you is that you're trying to like, pull these apart as if they don't fit together. And like, no BS is about finding the food lifestyle you want. And it sounds like you want to be optimized. So that's no BS. Some reason you think no BS is about Big Macs. I say you get to eat what you want. Some people want very healthy, nutritious food. Some people want more Big Macs and stuff. Like, I don't eat Big Macs. It's so funny because Logan and I were talking, like, Logan loves McDonald's. And so I was telling him, I was like, I had read this article about how kids, like, what they like to eat comes pretty much from what their mother consumed while they were pregnant. And so he never would eat McDonald's to save his life. It was the most convenient place to go. You know, he wouldn't eat McDonald's when he was little. Now that he's 22, loves it. And so I told him the other day, I was like, well, you come by that honest, because I ate McDonald's every day I was pregnant with you. Like, that was my lunch. That was my go-to. A number two, supersized, mayonnaise instead of mustard. That was my standard order with a Diet Dr. Pepper every day. And whether that's healthy or not, but that is how I ate. But I don't eat that anymore. Not because I think it's junky. Not because I think it's bad or anything. It's just like, I know that when I'm on a steady diet of McDonald's, and even occasionally eating McDonald's, it's very hard for me to keep my weight in check. Like, my body doesn't respond to it well. I also, when I eat it, I want to eat a lot of it. I don't want to eat just like, I don't want to go and just have a happy meal. I had a period of my diet life where losing weight, that's what I wanted. In this day and age, it's like, no. Like, I'd rather eat a big salad than to eat like a little bit of McDonald's. So that for me doesn't work anymore. Not because I can't have it. It's just like when I really tried to figure out what is my no BS lifestyle and what relationship do I want with food? I'm in the stage now where it's like, I want to have more energy. I don't want to be eating it. Like, I'm tired enough at 50. I don't need food that wears me out. I don't even hardly drink anymore. And I used to love drinking. But I'm so interested now in feeling better that I've had to match, like, all right, in order, if this is what I really want for myself, this is the stuff that I need to do for those feelings, because that's really what's important to me. So I just want to show you, like, I think you kind of keep trying to confuse what we eat, like the actual things we eat as no BS, it's like, it's the spirit of it.
Yeah, no, I think what I should have done instead of putting no BS up here is no BS is the circle.
Okay.
Right? Because no BS, like, yeah, and that's where I'm like, I want to be fit-ish, have good blood work, prevent disease, you know, prevent, but at the same time, I do like my pizza and beer. And I forgot about the gluten until the last speaker, because yeah, what do they call it? NCSG, non-celiac gluten sensitivity, but mine shows up in psoriasis.
Yeah.
And so for a health perspective, I definitely, that sweet spot in the middle of, yes, I do love being an athlete now, but I also want to do that, but I also want good blood work. And so I think what the problem is I'm shocked that here I am a week from race and I am opposite of where I thought I would be when I signed up for the race again. And okay. I'm okay with it
yeah,
because the race is over next week. Okay. Right,
but just be shocked. I mean, what is the downside of just being like, wow, I thought I would have had this. Like, to me, it's like a normal reaction. It would be like going on vacation and the weather outlook was sunny, blue skies. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, we got it wrong. On the last 3 days of your vacation, it's actually going to be raining. And you would be like coming on coaching going, I really need you to help me feel really good. I'm shocked. I don't want to feel shocked about, I had this expectation and now it's this.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
There's no downside to being shocked. Now, if you are beating yourself up, that's where we get into downside. But if you're just like, I really expected that I would be down 25 pounds. That didn't happen. Well, the race is next week. There's definitely nothing I can do about that part, but I'd still like to lose the 25. So what did I learn about this year? What needs to change for me?
And I did that this morning. And also, cause I have a little group, and that was the thing, like, what is the lesson we learned when we sit and look back, you know? And, the lesson for me is when I do try to focus on actually losing weight, my habit is I gain for whatever reason. When I focus on just doing the process, like even in the no BS, I naturally arrive. Like I hit my goal. I sat there a while. I did gain a little bit. You coached me. I was at like a 9 pound gain, but that was like my whole life got thrown upside down. Okay. So now, but now I'm truly sitting. I stepped on the scale today because I weigh in on Sundays and I'm like, I'll be damned. I'm exactly 25 pounds up from my goal. You know what? Right. I had hit goal and I had maintained
it. What is it when you, why do you think, what happens if I focus on weight loss? First of all, what does focusing on weight loss even mean to you? Give me like the five things I do when I'm focused on weight loss.
Like I focus on that. Like I have a goal. There's a number, which it's always goes back to 135. And so then I'll map out the weeks. Like, okay, I have, you know, 36 weeks, 24 weeks, whatever the weeks, I do the math on, okay, that's, you know, whatever pounds per week. And this is totally doable. And
okay, what is step? That's two steps. Set a goal, map out the weeks and how much you have to lose.
Yes.
Okay. Then what?
Like, and then I say,
like, get into the mindset of I'm focusing on weight loss now.
Yeah. And I actually wrote this out too, because then I go to the gym and I go Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I go at 5 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I go at 6. Monday, Wednesday, Friday is strength. Tuesday, Thursday is core and cardio.
When you're focused on weight loss, you work out 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else?
So then when I get home, I write my plan, but I call it a map, my multiple choice action plan. Cause I like to, but it's same. It's the plan. And then I do a brain dump. And so I just take a little piece of like journaling, but I call it the brain dump.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
what else do you do to focus on when you're focused on weight loss?
So this is the funny thing. Cause those are the things I do when I'm not focusing on weight loss. But when I have the thought I'm focusing on weight loss and I want to do them, then I almost fuck it. And I end up like negotiating with myself and I'm up and ready for the gym and I'll unreserve my spot.
So one of the things that like, this is what I want to tell you, focusing on weight loss isn't the reason why you gain weight. The reason why you gain weight is because you haven't learned to stop negotiating with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's why I call it the negotiator. Cause it, that's why I go to the gym so early.
You have to get better at, like, you're always going to have, like, you need to think of your brain as like this. Whenever I'm ready to start losing weight, why does the negotiator come up? So tell me first, why do you think your negotiator shows up when you're really focused on weight loss? What do you think you're like negotiating? They're negotiating for something. It's not just to fuck you over. The negotiator is only showing up probably when it feels like it's in danger or something's wrong. You need saving. Like, I would almost bet you the negotiator voice is showing up because, like, nothing you told me sounds like crazy pants.
No, because I do the things when I'm not focusing. Like, I like
what is the difference between not focusing on weight loss and focusing on weight loss? You need to tell me.
It's almost like the you can't make me. Like, you can't, like, it's almost like I get the thrill of being bad or maybe the comfort of the beatdown that comes afterwards. Like, the familiarity of, look at you, you did it again, you fucked up again.
You really believe that?
No.
That's what right. So don't throw that out there. Like, okay. I love how we're always trying to, like, let me get real Freudian here. Let me go deep cuts. And it's like, when I ask you, like, you really think that you're looking for the comfort of a beatdown? Like, and you're just like, well, no. It's like, okay, throw that away. It's probably not that.
Because I call it the negotiator too, right? Because literally I...
So what do you think the negotiator is wanting for you?
To beat me up.
I don't think the negotiator wants to beat you up. No, no, nothing inside you is wanting to beat you up. Like, I want you to think, like, think beyond this. So I'm going to lose weight. And then your brain is going to, we don't have to go to the gym. Well, we, like, let's just eat this. Like, whatever it is it's negotiating for. What is one thing that it negotiates for that you know is like, I really don't want to be doing this, but my brain offers it. And it's, I think this is screwing up my weight loss.
I know exercise isn't about weight loss, but the negotiator, because that's the first thing in the morning, it is going to the gym. But one of the other things
Do you go to the gym or do you skip out most days?
So I went like every day from October, not every day, but for most days from October until I signed up for the race. And then I joined the nutrition challenge at the gym, and you can watch like my login. I went from 21 days in a week, in a month, to like 16. I was negotiating more than I was going.
Yeah, but that's and all right. I like so going. I don't think that that's the problem.
Okay.
Throw that away. Otherwise you would have just quit. Negotiator's just trying to get you to quit something, but you never quit. So you're really good. I want you to think about this. When you negotiate more times than not, you're really good at overcoming it.
Mm-hmm.
So our biggest problem isn't so much, can you negotiate with yourself? It's like figuring out, why does your brain want you to negotiate? Because now we're not even focused on weight loss. The tough matter has nothing to do with weight loss. And for some reason you keep bringing this up as if it's the big problem in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Like that training for a tough matter does not gain 25 pounds. I don't care if you went 16 days, 21 days a month. I don't care how many times you went. Training for a tough matter does not make people gain weight.
Well, no, I gained weight because I was cramming all the crapped ultra processed food then.
Okay. So we want to know, like that's what I'm saying. Like, what is really screwing up weight loss?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the crappy foods that I was cramming. And the thought behind it was fuck it.
Okay. So why do you think you were in fuck it mode? The negotiator is just like, fuck it, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he's there? Why do you think he's like, we need to stop this? Like, this is like, I need to like sexy talk you, negotiate. I need to get you a better deal. Like, and I want you to think about like the negotiator is coming and saying, hey, this deal you've set up with yourself to lose weight, it's not a good deal. And here's why. So I'm going to negotiate a better deal for you. And the better deal is like some processed foods, like all these things. Why? What is it representing for you that's positive?
That's positive. Because all that came to my mind was a crab in the bucket. Like, I'm crawling out the bucket and something's crabbing me down. But what's positive? No.
I think it's trying to get the crab out of the bucket. I think you've put yourself in a bad bucket And you're desperately trying to crawl out, and the negotiator's on the outside trying to pull you out of some bullshit. And you're reading it like, this is so bad, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, your brain is only going to negotiate for stuff if it feels like you're in danger for some reason.
So I'm in danger.
Yeah.
First inning, Cubs, 4-0.
Okay. I'm on a call. Sorry. I take care of my 95-year-old stepdad, and he's telling me the Cubs score.
4-0.
Yeah, 4-0. He's excited. So I'm getting something beneficial out of it?
Yeah, we don't do things that we don't benefit from.
I get to keep myself safe in my comfort zone.
Safe from what?
So what just came up is, was it Marianne Williamson's quote? Our deepest fear isn't that we are like inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure, or something like that. Is that
what are you
like,
trying to keep yourself safe from? Don't go to Marianne Williamson. Go to your wisdom. Like, I'm trying to keep, like, when I'm eating ultra processed food, when I have a weight loss goal and I have it all mapped out and all planned, I even sign up for a race and it's going to be fun and I'm going to do it with these girls and like all the things. And then all of a sudden my negotiator is coming in and being like, whoa, pump the brakes. Let's eat some food. Hey, maybe we should skip some workouts. Like, I need to keep you safe from
failing. Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. What would be so bad about failing?
Nothing, because I call it the monster under the bed. It doesn't exist.
It exists in your head, or you wouldn't have spit it out. So yeah. What is so bad to you? Like, this is what's hard, Allison. You're a coach. Mm-hmm. Coaches are always the hardest to coach. Because y'all are trying to jump to coaching yourself rather than getting coached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was doing all morning. And then finally, like, let me raise my hand.
Set it all aside. like Corinne, take the wheel.
Yes, yes.
All right. So yeah. I want you to just think about, rather than trying to give me what a typical coach response would be, mm-hmm. for you personally, when you fail, why is that bad?
Like, well, here's the thing. I just thought I never try enough to actually be able to fail then.
Yeah,
right? Because I don't give it.
Fail?
Then I just prove to myself that I can't, like I'm broken. There's something wrong with me. I can't do it. A not enoughness. Like you said on the last call, the not enoughness. And that's where I always say the disease of not enoughness is actually at the root of everything. But
okay. So
what am I actually afraid of failing? Like, what am I actually?
That's what I want you to think about. Like, really think about this. If you have, what is the worst thing that happens? And I want you to really think about it. What is the worst thing that happens if you go all in and you still fail? If you had spent this entire, like, let's say you'd lost the 25 pounds and you show up at the thing and you still can't do, it's not called Chunky Monkey. What's it called?
The Funky Monkey.
It's not Chunky Monkey.
Yeah, it's the Funky Monkey. Yeah.
And you still couldn't do it.
Yeah. That I actually, because in my mind, I never even pictured me getting across the whole thing. I just wanted to hang on a little bit. But I think it's more about, tough mudder aside, the actual weight loss of hitting that goal, because I hit it and I maintained it and then I gained. So maybe it's that the fear of failing, because what if I can't stay there?
And okay, what if you can't stay there? Let's just go there.
Brain just said, what the fuck is wrong with me?
Okay, what is wrong with you if you can't stay there?
I'm broken.
Okay, so you would feel broken?
Like there's something wrong with me.
Okay, is there? If you lose weight and you can't stay there. Is there something wrong with you? Is the question.
No.
Do you like now? I want you to check in. And I want you to feel into your body. Like, does that really feel true? Like, honestly, no. There's really nothing wrong with me, or what is comes up?
No, it's that I am broken, that there is something wrong with me.
And what would that be? What like, would be wrong with you?
The word that came up is I'm a failure. Like, that's literally what just popped into my mind. And I can't do anything right.
I can't do anything right. So what are the, let's ask it this way. If you are a legit failure at keeping your weight off, then what happens then? What does that mean? It is not, I don't want you to go to personal attacks, like I'm broken or whatever. How does that impact your life? It means I can and can't do these things.
I hit my goal. I can't keep my weight off.
Let's say it's impossible. Like, I'm just like, Allison, I've read the tea leaves. You're never losing more weight. Like, you're this 25 pounds is here to stay. Hell, there's even 10 more coming. And you're like, now I'm a failure. So what does that mean? Like, how does that change your life?
I keep going back. There's something wrong with me. There's something I'm missing.
Right. That's because you're trying to solve it. Okay. I'm trying to ask you, like, this is what you've got to grapple with. One of two things happens in this scenario. You either uncover what you're really afraid of, like, I can't be a weight loss coach. I won't be able to help people. And if I can't do those things, I lose livelihood. Like, a lot of times, like, that's what happens for me. Mm-hmm. Like, if I start feeling like I'm gaining too much weight or anything, like anything weird is happening, my brain goes to failure means you lose things that are really important. And so my brain is freaking out. It's trying to fix things. It's doing all, like, you know, I get kind of caught, like, if I'm in a lot of fear, then I need to eat because I'm in fear. So I'm like, have all this self-generated fear that I've got to address. Otherwise, I just get caught in a loop of scaring the shit out of myself. Oh no, I better go eat because I'm scared to shitless. Oh no, I'm creating the exact thing I'm most worried about. Oh shit, now I'm back to, like, it's just, you kind of get caught and you feel like that inflatable clown punching bag. You're just like, coming back. Then the other thing happens. Sometimes when we really dig into it, you can't figure out. It's like, well, if this thing doesn't work or I absolutely fail at this, like, honestly, there's nothing that bad that's going to happen. I just don't like it. I just beat myself up. Like, but there's literally no danger. And knowing that for some of you is what breaks you free of the cycle. It's like, now the only thing that bad that really happens is I'm a piece of shit to myself. And if that's the case, if all I can do is tell myself, well, it means you're broken, it means you're not good enough, just go to doing thought work. It's like, really? Like, that is not true. It doesn't mean I'm broken. It just means this is the weight I'm at. And I'll either lose it or I won't. Even if I gain weight, it doesn't make me a broken person. That makes me someone who eats more than I need at times. That is all. That's really all it means. Or it means, you know, just whatever you're doing to yourself. But if it's actually like, I feel like this thing is attached to something I'm scared of losing and stuff, then we have to calm ourselves down over there. Otherwise, you will stay stuck. So what do you think it is for you?
It's not the coaching. It's not, because this was before any of that, you know, so I don't think that has anything to do with it at all. What am I scared of losing? Maybe like my goals, you know, because I've also gotten coached before when, like, when I first regained a little bit, like, hey, I'm kind of comfortable with this. What if I'm okay at this, right? I don't need to be that. But then at the same part is like, No, I actually want to have a different body composition, right? I do want that physique of like an athlete.
Okay, so the good news is then if the worst that's going to happen is you just don't meet your goal,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah. I guess the fear is I'm missing something, but that's probably not true.
Why?
Because there's probably nothing I'm missing. I probably have everything I need. And I keep thinking the fear is that like I'm missing something and I'm never going to arrive because I'm never going to figure it out when actually there's nothing to figure out.
Yeah, I do think you have everything you need. I think mm-hmm. you know plenty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like the only thing that we're noticing is that this negotiator voice, the only thing mm-hmm. that's missing is catching it and saying like, we don't negotiate. We've already mm-hmm. decided. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. going to be hard right now. I know you want me to not go to the gym today because you're afraid of failing, but I've already decided like there's not that much to lose if I fail. It's just a tough mutter. Might as well go to the gym. Like, or like when you're like working on your weight, you're just like, mm-hmm. I like, there's nothing to fear. The worst that could happen is I never meet my goal, but as long as I'm like trying, as long as I'm not beating myself up, I could chase that goal forever. It's kind of like with me in business. It's like, I told myself the other day, I was like, you are never going to feel like your business is big enough.
Mm-hmm.
And like my goal literally is to teach every woman. Like we argued about this tooth and nail one day. This was years ago. We made the mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
That we were going to teach every woman how to lose her weight, which meant every living, breathing woman on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I will never meet that goal. I will fail. On my deathbed, I will be known as the woman who failed at that goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because I set it so high.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't feel like a failure.
Mm.
Because the goal was there to keep me focused on never giving up.
Yeah, and I think that's it, that fear of that I'll never figure it out, but there's nothing to figure out.
Yeah.
And I'm just making it a big fucking deal and it's not.
Exactly.
I gained the weight probably because I was in a panic that I was making it a big deal that there's something wrong with me than I was eating to soothe myself. And there's not even an issue.
Yeah. And that's the best lesson is like, yeah. There was never an issue, which means mm-hmm. now I don't have to do that eating anymore. I don't have yeah. to do that fruitless eating anymore.
Yeah.
I get to yeah. give that part up.
Yeah. And now that the race is over, I'm like, I'm done. I am done setting. I'm just going to go back to doing what I was doing. Cause it works. And I love nutritious food. I really do. I like eating healthy. I like working. I like doing all that stuff. I like the thought work. I like it all. And I yeah. was just like, you know, here you go.
Yeah. And I don't think that just because you have the negotiator voice doesn't mean that you don't like all that stuff. It was just literally just afraid of something. It was just afraid that you would fail.
Mm-hmm.
And what we uncovered is that you're not going to lose anything if you fail. You're also mm-hmm. not going to, like be in any danger if you fail. Like the worst that's going to happen is you're going to be disappointed that you've not met your goal yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like because you love all of it, you're going to love trying over and over again.
You're yeah. Like and me. I'm going to have like, so much fun next week. Like I'm super pumped for it.
Yeah. You're like me when it comes to like building my business, it's the most gut-wrenching, excruciating thing I do. Mm-hmm. It makes me question myself. I feel dumb half the time. I'm like, shit changes every time Apple updates or Meta updates something. We pretty much have to start all over on a lot of things over and over again. It's like a weekly mm-hmm. occurrence. And it's also the most fun thing I do, the most exhilarating, the thing that I love the most. And it's weight loss, it like for you and I, it's like weight loss or building a business, whatever, is like our children. We spend a lot of time loving them And sometimes we just want to give them away. It's like, can I leave you in this Target?
So
somebody, you think somebody just called DHS to take your ass out? Like, you've been a real challenge today.
So, and I think the biggest thought that I was afraid of is I'm afraid I won't figure it out. And there's actually nothing to figure out.
Exactly.
That's is the loop. I was terrified that I won't figure it out, that I'm missing something. And that means there's something wrong with me and I'm never going to be able to figure it out, but there's actually nothing to figure out.
Yeah. Like I already know enough. I know a lot, know more than most. And then also like whenever y'all have a thought, like I'll never figure it out, define what it means. Mm. Because sometimes there's like nuance in there. It's like, I will like it for me represents, I'll never figure out eating. I'll never figure out these key components. And then you kind of look at it and be like, do I, like some people will tell me like, somebody on the last call was like, I'll never figure out my hunger and enough cues. And when we were talking, she had all the cues in the world. I was like, I think you have those figured out. I think you're telling yourself you want to eat because you're feeling like you don't deserve like a break, or you're wanting to eat because of this reason. But it sounds like the cues are figured out. And like sometimes we just have to like examine like, what is it that I really mean? One thing that y'all can watch out for is when you're using like sweeping statements. Mm-hmm. I'm always off plan, or I can't figure it out. And it's like, well, what is it? Is it always, or is it just certain times? Because I've never ever coached anyone when they're on a stall, plateau, a regain, or having a difficulty losing their weight, where when we start looking at what's not working, it's never everything. I'm not doing anything. And then when I start poking and prodding, it's like, well, I do that. It's usually there's like one or two things that most women just need to work on. And if they would just identify those instead of using these grandiose, hopeless, defeating statements or confusing words like it, when you dial it in, you get real specific about what's going on, the solution presents itself effortlessly. Mm-hmm. But when we say things like, I never, I always, I just don't do, I'm doing all the things. I'm like, all right, tell me all the things. Very often, they're not doing all the things. Mm-hmm. They feel like they are because they're obsessing and beating themselves up, but they're not actually doing the thing. They've tricked themselves into believing I'm doing all the things, except every night I don't stop it enough. It's like, that's not doing all the things. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to feel bad that you're not doing all the things. We just want to be specific. I do a lot of things, and the area I need to focus on is stopping at enough at dinner. When you say it that way, we have a problem to solve, and it's easier to not beat yourself up. When you say like, I'm doing everything and nothing's working, we have no problem to solve. None. Okay.
Yes. And it is, why don't I just do the things I want to do and I know what to do, and I'm just making it into this big deal and I'm creating drama, and there's actually no drama. So I don't need to eat over drama because there's actually no drama.
Yeah. If you just define what does it like, and even when you say like, I'm missing something, what do I think I'm missing is like a good question. And you write about, I think I'm missing this. And then you can say like, am I?
Yeah.
Does that feel true? And a lot of times you'll be like, you'll be like, no, not really. No. And you'll disprove your own thought. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you'll actually make the list and there'll be like one or two things on there and be like, I am missing that. Mm-hmm. I, you know, like the negotiator voice. It's like, I'm missing being able to stay consistent, or I'm missing, like consistency. I'm missing consistency in going to the gym. I was doing 21 days. I'm now doing 16. What am I missing? Well, on some days I talk myself out of going.
Oh yeah.
So yep. I'm missing a counter argument.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm missing a counter argument. Yep.
Yeah. Rather than just being like, well, that negotiator voice is back. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, now I got to figure out, what is the counter argument to that voice? What makes sense? What's going to get clarity in the moment? It's just like mine. Like, I know my negotiator voice is going to come loud and clear every Sunday. because I'm going to go to the gym in the afternoon. And I do not like working out in the afternoons, but I also like to get my work done first thing in the morning so that when calls are over, I'm done for the day. I don't want to be working anymore. So I was like, if what's missing for me is like a counter to the negotiator. So if I don't want my negotiator voice to come up, be dressed, because the first thing negotiator says is like, but you got your good clothes on. I mean, you're going to have to like take your clothes off. You're probably going to get makeup all over your clothes. And, you know, that's going to stain and round. Like my brain comes up with some, like it literally comes up with some bullshit. It's like, and that'll take 10 minutes. Then you'll be getting there so much later. And
I'm just like, yeah, this week it was the cicada mites. I don't know if you guys got them, but we got these mites here from all the cicadas and we're like eating. And I'm like, I'm itchy and I can't go. Like that was the negotiator. But I did go at 11:30 that day then instead of 5 o'clock. Like I did go, so but yeah, the negotiator. Yeah, I like that. I'm missing that bad.
It's like you had a counter argument. Well, okay. I don't want to get ate alive. So now I'm going to go with this time. So you had that on lock. So that's like with me, it's like, all right, if I know my negotiator voice is going to come in, I know that's an obstacle I face routinely. What can I do? The negotiator just doesn't want me to be wore out. So I should get there earlier rather than dicking around. So I will put on my workout clothes. I will get up from the call. I drank my energy drink on the call. Like that's another step. It's like, have your energy drink so that when you walk out this office, you got your clothes on and you're zipping with some energy. I just kind of figured out like, what is my negotiator? It's like, you're so tired. You don't want to change clothes. It's literally laying out the yellow brick road to success. It's saying, here's the things that get in your way and I'm going to help you. And I'm like, all right, thank you for giving me clues. So here's what I need to do.
I like that. What does the negotiator want? Because I do. I put my gym clothes out at night. They're hanging literally next to the toilet. So as I walk in there and I pee, I'm getting dressed as I'm sitting on the toilet. My shoes are right there. My water is hanging on the doorknob. Like I am ready, but it's laying in there. And that negotiator, the alarm goes off and he'll start chattering and be like, that's a good one. What does the negotiator want? And what's my counter argument?
Yeah. So especially like if it's like saying like in the mornings, if it's like, I just want to sleep in, then like for me, I often tell myself, that's great. That just means that you're probably wanting me to go to bed earlier at night.
And just that gentle counter.
Yeah. Like if I'm wanting to sleep in, that probably means I'm not getting near enough rest. And I now need to figure out how I'm going to go to bed a little bit earlier every night. Because this is me. Like if I turn my alarm off, I usually sleep like an extra 20 to 40 minutes. Like it's never a lot of time. And I'm like, it's pretty doable to go to bed 20 minutes early. So that in the morning, I'm like, hey, you went to bed earlier last night. You probably don't, maybe you don't need as much sleep as you think. So anyway, I like that. I'm trying to figure out what the negotiators, they're always negotiating on your best half. It's just, we have to make sure that it knows like everything's okay. Like, it's okay. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to do these things.
Well, part of why I go that early, because there's nothing else I have to be doing. Right. So I already like that barrier of negotiation. No, there is absolutely nothing else I need to be doing at that time of day.
Right.
So it's just catching it. Thank you so much. Cause I already feel like, that was good. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That's everybody for the day. We've had some good calls today. We've talked a lot about productivity, listening to our excuses. We've talked a lot about regains, and I'm just going to tell all of you, I think regains are very normal. We are going to lose our weight for the rest of life, but let me just tell you what I really mean by that. You're going to learn the skills to be able to lose your weight for the rest of your life, which sometimes, and we cannot predict this for everyone, means that you might have periods of your life where you regain some weight because it's extra stressful or there's something that comes up. But what I want all of you to hold on to is the way that I teach you to lose weight. I give you the skills to know when that's happening. I give you the skills to look inside. I give you the resources around you to get the help that you need. I always think that when we are regaining, it's usually a self-preservation moment. It almost always is because something's happening that's rocking our world, whether that is a major life thing is happening, a big shift, a big change, and our brain is just like, oh my gosh, emergency, let me break the glass. You start eating while we deal with all of this. But I'm going to like feed you because you're having a hard time getting your brain wrapped around this. And for a lot of us, when we have big things, we have to put out those fires. We just don't know how to do it without also eating because our brains are in the background, worrying, obsessing, fearing, like catastrophizing. And then when we eat a little bit, all of a sudden, our brains start fixating on the weight. And I will tell you, sometimes gaining weight is your body's way of loving you the most because it knows if you will worry about your weight, and you will obsess and you will put all your, you know, shame and your emotional energy there, then you don't have to live in the fear of what's really happening in your life. This very often happens with our clients who have an aging parent, a partner that's dying, children that are really sick. Suddenly, like there's something like a big disruption in the force, you know? And I just want you to think about how your body loves you enough to say, I know this is so scary and I can't have you living in mortal fear, real fear. So I'm going to get you to eat to alleviate some of that stress. And then I'm going to get you beating yourself up because that's not dangerous. And the more you beat yourself up and the more you eat, the more we don't have to think about this. It is a distraction. And it is a loving, kind thing that your brain's doing, except you say it's not. The moment you're like, oh my gosh, my brain is just trying to keep me from all of this over here. Now you can say like, you know what? Maybe this is what I need to go to ask coaches for. Maybe I need to work on this so it's not so scary. And then my brain doesn't have to ask me to eat so much. And then I can quit beating myself up over it and realize what's really happening here. And I can kind of just get back on track, smooth some things out, deal with what's happening in my life, both dealing with it and dealing with what I keep thinking's happening. I can deal with the catastrophizing, the runaway worry and stuff. The more you do that, you take care of the other side. So for all of you, when it comes to your regains and stuff, I think it's useful to look at what happened, especially in the middle of it, because we can get some relief. But then we get to where we're done with that part. When all of the, like, say the thing is resolved itself, rather than sitting there and coming on and getting coached about feeling bad about yourself because of it, just decide, I don't have to feel bad, but I want to get into action. Like, feeling bad is optional. But what I can do, and the fastest way to feel better, is to start doing some stuff that I already know how to do, that really is the life I want to live. And now that this big stressor is over, let's just get back to this. And let's not make it any harder than it has to be. And then you start losing a few pounds. You start feeling a little bit better. You start feeling like everything's kind of back under control. To me, that's the fastest way to feeling better. Okay? I love all y'all. I feel for you. I know, like, weight loss is the best and toughest thing we ever do. It just is. And I don't think you could be in a better place than here to deal with it. So keep reaching out to ask coaches, keep talking to us, keep coming to the calls, listen to the replays, download that private member podcast where things are only going to get better. We are really working on excellent content for y'all. We're working on new resources. New exciting things that we've never done inside of No BS are coming in 2025. It's just literally, y'all are so lucky to be here because it's only going to get better from here on out. All right. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.